This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the May 24th edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we talk about every day. What we try to teach, we try to improve your skills. That's our job. Now, according to Sir John Templeton, there are four most dangerous words are, this time it's different. If you look at any time in history, when someone starts to see that or you read about it, the clearest time for me when someone said that to me and kept repeating it everywhere was in the dot-com era. When everybody was telling me how different it was, the dot-com was going to change how everybody does business, and that whenever I whined about, but no companies are making any money, they would give me that, well, it's different this time. It's all about eyeballs, about coming to the web. It's about eyeballs. So I was whining about, well, we got to have earnings. Where's the earnings going to come from with these dot-com companies? It's different this time. It's never different, everybody. And if it is different, it's just a little bit different. It all boils down, kind of make money, you got to grow your sales, you got to grow your earnings, on and on, all the time. Economy's got to grow for those things to happen. It's never different. Okay? Now, it's not easy to ride out the volatility we've seen, but we have, you know, we've only hardly had one major day of volatility in months. And that was last week. But you can control some of that volatility. We're protecting your retirement savings as interest rates rise. That's going to be one of our talking points because there's going to be increased volatility when interest rates rise. So how do you protect your retirement savings when that happens? Now, is early retirement one of your goals? That's another facet of the American dream. Retire early, enjoy the good life, right? Early retirement may seem like a dream come true, but I'm telling you, I know from experience, it does not solve the problems that you think you have. It does not make you happy. If you're not happy already while you're working, you're not going to be happy retiring. You know, you can start a whole new chapter in your life, of course, do something different. I understand that. It's very appealing. I understand that. But you still have to plan for these things. You cannot move into a financial nightmare simply because you want to retire early. You got to retire early with a good understanding of your financial health. Now, the number one threat to retiring early is running out of money, right? Wouldn't that be the number one threat? And with medical advances, you're going to live a lot longer than you think. You're going to live a lot longer. That means a lot more years of money that you have to spend in retirement. So maybe you shouldn't retire early. Maybe you should retire late. How about 70 years old when you get extra Social Security benefits? Because you're going to live to 90. Probably if you make 70, you'll probably live to 90. The odds are very high. That extra years from age 65 or 62 to 70, if you want to retire early, or whatever, those years, or whatever years it is, are very important years to put money aside. The National Bureau of Economic Research has found a strong correlation of declining health after retirement. Declining health after retirement. And they compare people with various ages when they retire, but your health goes down in retirement, doesn't improve. Isn't that interesting? I knew that. I knew that for quite some time that's true, because you lose purpose, you lose a function, you lose a desire that there's just something going on in people's minds and their bodies when they retire and don't do anything, and don't have a purpose in anything. Life expectancy is shorter for some reason. I don't think anybody really knows the answer why. Anyways, do you have questions about how much you need in retirement? Let's talk about it. Our listener line is always open, 888-99-SHARP. That's our anytime line. And we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. But you can call anytime you want.
Oh, hi, right? Justin. Oh, hi, Justin or Steve. This is Bob. I had a question for you. I have a Roth IRA and I have an IRA. And I made the mistake of transferring them to an insurance company, and their expense ratios and management fees are a bit high, a little over 2%. My question is, should I stop contributing and just open up an account with Vanguard, one other lower-cost investment firm, and then I can transfer, and they have a five-year surrender period, so I wanted to add that, and I could transfer 10% a year without penalty. Should I do that, or just continue to contribute until my surrender period is over? I have about another 4.5 years to go. Continue to contribute. I'll max them out each up to, I guess, like $2,500 or so. Or should I just start fresh, start from zero, and just transfer 10% each year until the surrender period is over? I appreciate any advice you could provide, and I look forward to hearing you guys on the podcast. Thank you.
Well, I would definitely move it. I would open up a new account and contribute to the new account, stop contributing to those old accounts, and start taking the money out 10% a year and avoid the surrender costs, surrender charges. I'm assuming it's not an annuity. You didn't mention annuity, so I'm assuming it's not an annuity, but it's with an insurance company. Whenever I hear it's with something, you know, the insurance company is custodian, I'm thinking annuity. Make sure about your surrender charges. Make sure. So there's absolutely no reason to have an insurance company be your custodian. I don't understand that. So don't do it. For everybody else, don't do what he did, because he realized that he's made the mistake, and now he's got to unwind out of that. And it's going to be time-consuming and a pain, but don't do it all at one time, because I don't want you to incur the surrender charges. Protecting retirement savings as interest rates rise. That's one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about China debt. I wrote about that and put it in the market commentary, but I wanted to just briefly touch on it today. China's debt downgrade. Did you know they were downgraded today by Moody's? Why Uber and Lyft. Now, you know who Uber and Lyft are. Those are the ride-sharing companies that you can sign up. Why their valuations are so high? Why? Why are they so high? There's clear reasons for it. And kind of related to its vehicles, Tesla, Elon Musk. But I'm going to take a little different slant on Elon Musk. He had made his share of failures, but no one ever talks about them. Let's talk about some of the things that have gone wrong for Mr. Musk. Now, I'm not taking away any of his great successes, but he's had some pretty big problems, it's not all roses for him. It's not. He's still not out of the woods in a couple of his businesses. He's not. But let's talk about that. Give him the kudos that he deserves. But also, don't be blinded by those kudos or his successes. Those are things I want to talk about. The market was up today, Dow 73, NASDAQ 24, and the S&P 6. And it looks like to me, they made all that one huge one down day, they made it all back. Took them 5 days to make it back. And we're back at near the tops for the major indexes. And so now where? Are they going to break through? They're having a heck of a time breaking through. And we're talking about a market that's been going sideways since March 1st. So all of March, all of April, and here most of May so far, gone sideways. So something's going to happen. It's either going to break out or roll back over and down. I have no idea which one. No one does. Anybody ever tells you they know where the market's going, they're lying to you, you run from them. Okay? Anyway, so that's what the market did today. It was up 5th day in a row. That's pretty good. Not bad. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I have a couple of checkup days to tell you about. If you live near Orange County in Southern California, well, I'm doing it tomorrow, the 25th. I have meetings tomorrow. Then I'm in San Jose on June 14th. These are individual meetings that give you time to look over your, give me time to look over your current retirement portfolios or your other portfolios and give you a second opinion. Set aside your own time. Go to investtalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab, and just send me an email. 888-99-CHARS, our live listener line. We open every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
I had a question here on the radio about two stocks, Amgen, A-M-T-N, and M-T, ticker Mike Tango, M-T. I purchased M-T about 3 months ago, 1,000 shares for about $8 and 50 cents or so after listening to the radio show and having Steve give it a high recommendation. Now, recently, that I never knew existed was a inverse stock split where the price has gone up to 22 something, $23 a share. Obviously, my stocks have gone down to 333. I've never knew this existed, but it's kind of scary, and I was just wondering what he thought about this company now, MT, and its future, and if we should sell, because I don't know why you would inverse split to raise a price unless you expect it to fall farther. So that's it. MT and Amgen, AMGN, if that's something you would recommend to continue holding into the future. I have it at about $140 per share. Thank you.
Okay, well, just to clarify, you don't have a reverse split because you think it's going to fall further. That's not why you do a reverse split. Reverse splits is only an effort to get the price up. Why do they need to make that effort to get the price up? For MT, Arcor Mattel, which is a $22 billion company, it's huge. So their price was, what, $8, $9 or so? They did a reverse split of, you know, about a 3-to-1, 1-to-3 reverse split. So they took three shares and gave you one, and they increased the price by that, you know, three times. And now selling for $22.30. So it tells you basically that stock has gone nowhere for several months. But the reason why they do a reverse split, if you're listed on the New York Stock Exchange, which MT or Arcor Mattel is, New York Stock Exchange has certain rules, and one of those rules is you have to be above $5 per share. And so one of the ways they can get that price up when the price goes down is do a reverse split. Now, a reverse split is not a positive thing. I'm not saying that it is. It's not. It's kind of a negative thing. But it doesn't mean that the stock is going to continue to go down. And I still like Arcor Mattel. It's a Luxembourg-based manufacturer of semi-finished and finished steel products. The P/E ratio is 7. Now, the sales growth in the last quarter is up 20%. Before that, the sales growth, they had some shrinkage. Now it's turned it around. Looks like it's turned around and it's moved up off its bottom. So I kind of like it. Amgen, I also like Amgen a lot. You buy that for the dividend, not necessarily for the growth. AMGN is that stock. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, 888-99-CHARTS. How to reach me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our whole purpose is to answer your money questions. Any money questions is welcome. Any of them right now. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Pat in Oakland. How you doing, Pat?
Thank you, Steve, for taking my call again. Longtime listener. You've always provided me excellent advice.
Thank you.
And my question is, and thank you. My question is regarding the Fed rate in June. I want to get your opinion if you feel that is going to happen.
I actually do. I think they're set to raise the rate in June. I think they will. It's hard to know. If the market, Pat, if the market all of a sudden fell apart and went down 1,000, 2,000 points on the Dow, they wouldn't raise the rates. That would scare them. But as long as everything seems to be running along okay, I think they're going to raise the rates. They need to get the rates higher so they can fight the next recession by lowering the rates. But you can't lower the rates when they're so super low. I really think they're on maybe two times this year, unless something bad happens to the stock market, then it'd be just one more time. And I do think it's going to be in June. I do. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. We'll see. You know, you never know what the Fed's going to do, but all their hints and all their speeches and everything is pointing to that they kind of want to raise them in next meeting. They're going to raise it. So what damage will that do? That's what they're – one of the reasons they want to guide your expectations so it won't do any damage. They want everybody to believe, get used to the idea that they're going to raise the rates and feel comfortable with it, and then they raise the rates. That way, there won't be any big response. Stock market, economy, no big response by anybody. They just accept it and move on. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the Fed does things very differently than they used to do them. They just do. How to protect your retirement savings as interest rates rise kind of fits in with Pat's question. You know, we all have money. Okay, first of all, you should check your investments. Check your investments to see how sensitive they are to interest rate movement. You know, in your 401k, your IRA, your joint account, wherever it is, what kind of investments do you have and how sensitive are they to interest rate movement? That's the first thing you got to take a look at. And if you want to stay in bonds, there's nothing wrong with bonds. I like bonds. Don't get me wrong about, you know, how negative I am on bond funds, because I am negative on bond funds. But bonds themselves, I like them. You should consider building a bond ladder. And what that means is, because you know, you cannot guess the direction of interest rates and bonds. No one really knows. You can have an educated guess, but that's all it is. It's just an educated guess. You don't know what rates are going to do. The Fed could raise the rates and everybody else. Remember, interest rates are controlled by you and me. They're not controlled by the Fed. They're only influenced by the Fed. So you can build a bond ladder, buy different bonds with different maturity rates going out 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And how you do it is when that bond, the nearest bond comes due, you go out 4 years. And as interest rates rise, you might go a little bit further, maybe 5 years, and then 6 years. As rates rise, you go out a little further, so you can get higher income from those bonds. That's a bond ladder. Again, don't try to time it. It's not very difficult. So think about this too. If rates do rise, there is a benefit to that. You're going to get more money on your bonds, right? You're going to get more money on the yields. You're going to get more money on your savings account. So interest rates going up is not negative. Not really. Now, the theory is rising interest rates will slow economic growth. That's the theory. But when the rise is very, very slow, like what we're having, and from a very, very low amount, I don't think it's going to necessarily slow economic development. It's when it's surprising or it's moving fast. That's when it impacts the economy. Not when you have plenty of time and it's already low and it should be higher anyways, and everybody knows that. It's not so much to worry about. Okay? And the Fed is telling you they're going to be very slow. Let's go to Brandon in Mill Valley. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm enjoying the show as usual.
Thank you.
The question I had is, I read that the Trump guys are going to pass that fiduciary rule in June.
Yep.
Implemented.
Yes.
And I remembered when you discussed it on the radio, you had some negative aspects of it. And I wanted you to kind of refresh my memory on that.
Well, I kind of like the rule for myself. I do like. The negative aspects are going to be you as an investor, you're going to be, there are going to be a lot of changes in your portfolio that you're probably not going to like. But to satisfy the fiduciary rule, they're going to have to make it. Whoever, and see, remember, the rule it was used to be that you can sell somebody an investment or buy some investment that's suitable for them. Now it's going to be what's best for them, not just suitable, what's best. And because of that change, it's not going to affect us because that's how we operate anyways. But because of that change, that you're going to have a lot of the brokers and dealers are going to be calling you up and trying to change what you have because no longer maybe it was best. It was suitable, but it wasn't best because they made a high commission. So that's where the negative is going to come from. But other than that, I think it's going to be positive for most people.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. And the process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course. And along the way, there are issues about taxes and estate planning and on and on. Well, KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off the decision. Most times, that's not productive. And that's why KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, the more satisfied they'll be. Useful knowledge. That's their goal. That's at the heart of the service they provide. Informational, educational, KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now back to the podcast. InvestTalk continues, a service of KPP Financial. For more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. Our InvestTalk Live listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Justin from New Jersey. I'm calling to ask you a question in regards to IRAs. I recently started my own business, and I wanted to know, one, is it possible to understand the difference between a traditional and a Roth IRA? As I looked up before, I think there are income limits in regards to a Roth IRA. And with that, I want to know if there are any recommended brokers or discount brokers and what I should look for when assigning a way to open an IRA or a Roth IRA as well. Appreciate the program. Speak soon.
Okay, if you're self-employed, you might want to consider opening up a SEP IRA. Not just a regular standard IRA, because as a self-employed person, you can put more money in a SEP IRA than a regular IRA. Now, you can have a regular IRA. That's not a problem. But I would also open them up at a discount brokerage firm. And there's a million of them. E-Trade, TradeStation, TD Ameritrade. I like TD Ameritrade's a lot. I do, because their technology is very good. So I probably would suggest TD Ameritrade at this stage, but that changes every so often because they're competing, which is great. And that's what we're all about. They're competing against each other, but TD Ameritrade would be number one choice, I think, right now. Consider a SEP IRA if you're self-employed, and you can open up a SEP Roth or a SEP regular IRA. They have them, and you can do it almost anywhere. But that's what I would do, only because it gives you a little bit more flexibility to put more money aside if you're self-employed and you happen to make a lot of money one year. Well, maybe that's the year you want to really fund it up to the max, which is, $15,000-$18,000, somewhere in that range, similar to a 401k. You can also open up an individual 401k as well. Don't want to forget that. So there's other options. Don't lock yourself into just a simple regular IRA and regular Roth. Yeah, I think you want more freedom to be able to put more money in if you can on a yearly basis. Thanks for the call. Good luck. I hope it works out for you. I hope you make tons of money. I think people should, being self-employed, I've been doing that since I was 29, self-employed. There was a lot of stress and everything else associated with it, but the best thing I ever did. because it gives you also a lot of control over your own life. And yeah, you can fail. But see, I learned very young, you also get fired. I never got fired from a job, but a lot of people around me got laid off. So what security was there in that? Yeah, so I might as well try and make a success on my own, be my own boss. 888-99-CHART. So I'm really, I commend anybody who wants to try it. 888-992-4278. Give me a call. China just got its debt downgraded. Do you see that? By Moody's. Now, it was only, this is the first time they downgraded in 30 years. And it's only by, one tick? So it wasn't a lot. But all the other companies also have downgraded recently China's debt. And I think it's very instructive for us as investors. It tells you that they're moving away from their high growth economy that has been really taken off and more to a more mature economy, but also they have huge debt. Now, it's not the Chinese government that has debt. It's various entities in China that have debt. Companies, governmental agencies, their equivalents to cities and states and counties. Those things are super indebted. And the federal government, Chinese government, may have a lot of money, a lot of wealth, but they're going to be bailing out these people. They're going to run out of money doing that. That is the fear that these rating agencies are having. And they look at an example of that, and they look at Japan. Do you remember when 1980s, Japan was going to rule the world? They were getting so big. They were so financially strong. And, how could we compete with them? They're going to surpass us and all that stuff. Sound familiar with China? And then Japan had a huge, huge surplus cash. And what are they going to do with all that money? Well, they burned right through it, didn't they? From 1989 to now. Then they had years of stagnation and deflation, and maybe now they're getting out of it. So that's the fear, that China is moving down that same path. And I think it's a justifiable fear, by the way. What's going to happen, what normally happens, is, and they even did it in this financial crisis, they start to spend all their surplus. And then they go and spend more. Just to try to get them out of the financial situation, this huge debt bomb they have hanging over their head. And, China is a closed society, so we won't even know that these things are happening. It might be happening now, we just don't know. But it is there. So be very careful with your Chinese investments. Be very, very careful. Okay? Debt is bad, okay? Debt is bad. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to our friend Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art? You want to talk about TiVa? Everybody wants to talk about TiVa these days. How are you doing?
All right. How's it going, Steve?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you knew anything about TiVa as far as why it keeps, seems like it keeps dropping. It's,
I do.
I just wanted your take.
Yeah, well, They're looking for a new CEO and the COO, CFO, Chief Financial Officer, quit. So there's turmoil at the top, and that's where the problems are at TiVa. It's at the top. Doesn't necessarily mean the company is doing a bad thing with its earnings, but the balance sheet is not the strongest. It's not. But their sales growth has turned around pretty dramatically the last three quarters or so. And it's really, really inexpensive. So it's a matter of how low will it go. And we own this in some of our managed accounts, TiVa, everybody, because I really like that 4% dividend yield. And I like that P.E. ratio of 6 when the five-year range of the P.E. is 6 to 13. So and return on equity 16. All the fundamental numbers look pretty good to me, except their balance sheet. They have a little bit of debt, but not huge debt. So, Art, I think you grin and bear it. You buy it and just wait. Be patient. It'll rebound.
Okay. Didn't they announce that they're almost decided on the CEO?
Yes.
I thought I had that or something.
And it's a foreigner. is a foreigner to them. Remember, Teva is an Israeli pharmaceutical company. Their largest company, by the way, in Israel is $30 billion in size. They pretty much settled on the CEO, but not the chief financial officer. They still haven't decided on that. So, yeah, Art, to be perfectly frank, I want you to call me up in 6 months and tell me what you think of Teva then. Because I have a feeling where everybody who's buying it is going to be happy. We own it. I think it's a buy, even though the chart does not look very good. It does not. Okay. Okay.
Thanks,
Art. I appreciate the call. Teva, T-E-V-A is a symbol. Teva Pharmaceuticals. Whether you're just getting started or currently own rental properties already, our free real estate webinar will shed some light on how true professionals look at investing in real estate. The basic of real estate, residential real estate investment, residential. It's a free live webinar, May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. All you do to register is just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk2t's.com and click on the investment. Best Talk tab.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. Balanced income, steady yield, and moderated risk. This investment approach primarily focuses on an income stream through stable dividend-paying companies and quality corporate bonds. Also, there are other income-producing securities, such as preferred shares or treasury bonds and notes. If you'd like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and you'll see it listed.
Good afternoon, Steve or Justin. This is Saeed from Illinois. I have a question about GE. It's taking a pretty good hit. I have quite a few positions already for long-term holding. Should I keep buying it at this for dividend and for long-term? What do you think about it? Thank you. I love your show. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, okay, GE, thank you for the nice words. GE, General Electric Company, everybody knows who they are, $241 billion company. It manufactures transportation, energy, generation, consumer appliances, industrial, medical equipment. Used to be a huge financial company too, GE Capital and stuff, but they divested themselves. I don't know if they're completely out of that or not. I'm not, but they divested themselves. It pays a 3.4% dividend. Sales are shrinking 1% to 2% in the last couple of quarters. Before that, the sales were growing. And so there's a little pressure on GE, and they have a big presence outside the United States, not only inside, but outside. So I would, at this point, they're at support. I wouldn't sell it. If you own it, I wouldn't buy more. I don't like the dollar cost average down in individual stocks. I don't mind it. I like it in dollar cost averaging down in mutual funds or ETFs, but not individual stocks because there's no diversification. And there could be something unknown about this stock that why it's falling. Whereas a mutual fund ETF, you have plenty of diversification. So you know that the whole fund will turn around eventually. It's not reliant on just one stock. But GE, remember, it's huge. So you buy this for the dividend, 3.4%. You don't buy it for the growth because there's not going to be much growth. Just not. It's very difficult. They have more debt than I'm comfortable with, but GE has always had a lot of debt. And there's been a lot of insiders around where it's trading at $27.83. A lot of insiders buying at this level, a lot. So, you know, this is a price that you kind of want to maybe pick it up and just hold it for the long term based on that dividend. Remember, I've told you over and over and over here on the live radio that you want to buy these big blue chip stocks when they're on sale. Okay, is GE on sale? Well, I can't say it's cheap because they make $1.89 and it's a $27 stock, $1.89 per share. But that, you know, that's next year. But it's not. It's pretty comfortable in the range that it is right now, price-wise, $27.83. Now, I wish it would be cheaper, and it would be in a recession, but we're not in a recession, probably not heading into a recession anytime soon. 888-99-CHART. Why Uber and Lyft, of course, those are the ride-sharing companies, why their valuations are so very high. And it's a very simple math. Very simple. And the analysts are looking at Uber and Lyft and ride-sharing companies and saying the market for that business is 8 times higher, or $285 billion, than it is right now. So the market can support a lot more growth in that area for Uber and Lyft. Okay? And that's why they're valued so high. You got to remember, they're comparing this with the taxi and the base of how big the taxi industry is, because this is where the business is being taken away from, the taxis. So they know how big the industry is, and they're saying Uber is going to move into that industry big time, and it's a much bigger market than what they have now. And also at the same time, we're talking about driverless cars in the future. You don't even need to have drivers. And that brings me to Waymo. You know who Waymo is? W-A-Y-M-O. That's Google's self-driving unit. Google's self-driving unit. Did you know Google was in this industry? Yeah, big time. So Waymo is worth about $70 billion, I think. Well, so this whole sphere is on a very big growth trajectory. And that's why these Uber and Lyft are so valued so high. I won't say overvalued, but valued a lot higher than they appear to be worth if you look at it just in a vacuum and say, okay, right now, how much money do they make? Well, that's not how you look at any stocks, really. Not how much money they make now. It's how much money they're going to make. How much bigger is their market share going to be? You know, how much of that taxi business are they going to take from taxis? Okay. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278. You know, that's true with all the stock market. It's always looking forward, never backwards. Always. You're an investor, you look forward. Now, here's an investing term you should know. What is a stock split? We talked about a reverse split just a few minutes ago. What's a regular split? What's a stock split? A corporate action in which a company divides its existing shares into multiple shares. Although the number of shares outstanding increases by a specific multiple, the total dollar value of the shares remains the same. So a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1 split, that means you have 100 shares at $20 a share. They do a 2-for-1 split. Now you have 200 shares at $10 a share. So the value is exactly the same. You just have more shares, and it's a less cost per share. That's it. To see more in-depth definition, you can go to Investopedia.com. You're listening to Invest Talk, and your calls, questions, and comments get top priority. We'd love to hear from you. We only have one segment left. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, love your podcast, love the information you guys provide. I was thinking about picking up AutoZone, AZO. Seems like it's been beaten down quite a bit. So it's 52-week low with some surprise earnings. Just, I think it's got some support here. I just wonder what you guys thought. Thanks a lot. Bye.
AutoZone, everybody. AZO operates 5,297 retail auto parts stores in U.S., Mexico, Puerto Rico, Brazil, offering automotive parts. And the most recent quarters with earnings were very disappointing. And what was worse, it's not just the earnings, but the outlook was by the company was talked down. Not necessarily downgraded, because that would be an analyst, but the company's own CEO. And try to remember, AutoZone is not the only one that's having these problems. Other auto parts makers have the same issues here right now with lowering earnings. So the question is it a value play? Is it ready to be picked up? And I'm going to tell you, not yet. Don't get too anxious yet, too soon yet. They don't pay a dividend, so you can't hold it and say, well, I'll just hold it because the dividend is great. So you want to pick this up when it stops falling. Right now, it is continuing to fall, even though it was up today. 1.65% up today. It's only been yesterday that it collapsed. So you got to give it some time. Give it a couple of weeks. Let it form a base at the very least before you decide to buy. You want it to see you would like to see a little bit of strength come back into the stock, and not just one day. I mean, over a few weeks. So I would say give yourself some time here. And yeah, it's pretty reasonable price. I mean, there's a pretty low, so it's a value play at this point. But you want to give it a little bit of time to make sure the stock is done shaking out all the weak hands holding the stock. And then when that's done, then you pick it up. And I don't think it's going to be far away. I mean, 2, 3, 4 weeks. We'll see how. You want to wait till it stops going down, then pick it up. And I think you're close. AZO is a symbol, everybody. AZO. Now, we all know who Elon Musk is, of course. He's, you know, famous for his Tesla, maybe SpaceX. But, you know, it's not, he hasn't, everything he's touched is not turned to gold, just so you know. It's not everything that he touched. And I'm not convinced that, you know, his, you know, SpaceX and Tesla and the purchase of the Solar City, I'm not so convinced that that's going to work out yet. I'm not convinced of that. Anyways, you know, he has some failures out there. He was fired as CEO of his own company. He's watched two of his companies hover nearly on bankruptcy. He got fired when he was on his honeymoon. I mean, he's had some headwinds. I don't want to take anything away from his success. You know, and Tesla, SpaceX, those are big successes. And Neuralink, he was he's co-founder of these companies and a co-founder of SolarCity, co-founder of X.com, which was purchased or which became eventually PayPal. So he's got some pretty good credentials behind him. But Tesla, it's still not out of the woods. It still could go bankrupt. SolarCity, which is Tesla purchased, has huge financial problems. It's not out of the woods either. SpaceX, you know, a lot of those space rockets have blown up on them. So that's not out of the woods either. So I just don't think we should look at Elon Musk and say, what? You know, of course he is a great innovator and he's doing things, taking huge risks and he's had huge financial success for himself at the very least, but I'm not convinced about his, you know, Tesla yet. I am convinced about the technology, the cars, the ability for those cars to sell, but he's taken on huge debt. He may be filing bankruptcy and leave the old shareholders in the dust, and he'll be just fine. And then they'll come out with new shareholders and a new Tesla. I can see that happening easily. Well, we spent the hour, everybody. I thank you for listening and joining in today. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I will get back to you. Always do. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.